Hello, do you want to move from receiving the paycheck to signing the paycheck? Moving from an employee to an entrepreneur sounds like a great move, but needs to be well thought, planned, and executed. My name is Torishejo Omagbemi. I'm your host. And today we discuss a very interesting topic, moving from being an employee, I beg your pardon, to becoming an entrepreneur. And I have with me Ebon Feludu. I hope I got that right.
Yes, Ebon, you did.
Ebon runs Jam, the coconut food company, an integrated coconut processing company. In 2017, she was made the Nigeria rep for the Women Economic Forum. And in 2019, she led the largest delegation of women to the annual Women Economic Forum conference in New Delhi. In the same year, she was made the inaugural Nigerian chairperson, All Ladies League Nigeria, the global network of women under the auspices of Women Economic Forum. Ebon enjoyed a thriving career in media before she began a foray into agriculture and agro-processing in 2014. She remains at the moment a co-host on TW Conversations, a popular program on the national television, and runs a Plug Media Resourcery, a boutique media agency that supports women with content and branding. Welcome to the Rising Podcast, Ebon. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. And I'd like to be, I hope I'm taking a risk. I hope I'm the first to congratulate you. I just learned that the coconut food company, you know, run by Ebon, just won for Nigeria in the inaugural ECOWAS SME pitch. Am I correct?
Oh, you're absolutely correct.
Congratulations.
Very excited. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much.
Congratulations. And that $15,000 is a lot of money, you know. I saw $15,000.
Yeah.
You know, the price tag attached to that.
It's a nice, tidy sum.
I can relate to that. $15,000 is a lot of money. Congratulations once again. So just before we dive into, you know, discussing this very important topic. In 2008, you made an epic Trans-Saharan road trip. You know, I was just looking this up and I was like, what's this about? From Lagos to London, through the West Coast and the Sahara Desert. So please tell me about this. What was the motivation behind this, please?
Well, I think I've always been an adventurer, right? I love to travel. And so at the time I worked with a women's magazine called True Love. Mm-hmm. I was the staff writer, and I had a section of the magazine called Travel. Mm-hmm. And I set out to interview Newton Jibuno, who had made this epic journey before. As a student returning from the UK, he decided he was going to drive home.
Whoa.
Can you imagine? And so he did that trip from London to Lagos through the Sahara. And he did it successfully. I think he did a second trip at some other time. And then he decided in 2008 that he wanted to do this trip, but with a group of young people so that he could pass on the baton of, you know, the mission and what he was trying to do with these expeditions, which was to raise awareness and desertification, desert encroachment, you know, and all that. So at the point I went to interview him, he was planning for the trip. And of course, he had a bunch of guys that he was looking at taking along. But I was just thoroughly fascinated. And because I love travel, I said to him, listen, I can add a lot of value. I can help you raise funds. I can do the PR. I was coming from a media background. We need to be able to tell stories along the way. So that's basically how I got on. He was really worried because I was a woman. He had no intention of, you know, taking a woman on the trip. Mm-hmm. But after being on his case, like, you know, he finally budged. So I was the deputy captain on that trip, handled all the media PR. I actually drove, which was fantastic. And, you know, at the end of every day, I would write stories that would go on to all of the major newspapers in Nigeria and the international press as well. So it was a phenomenal, life-changing trip. That is for sure.
Yeah, I can just listen to this story. You know, I can literally feel the adventure, you know, that came out from that wonderful story. So now we can dive straight into, you know, discussing tips and discussing the complexity and the reality, you know, around moving from being an employee to an entrepreneur. So for starters, how do people transit from employment to entrepreneurship?
I don't think there's any one way. And it will be different for different people depending on their situation in life. If you're a single person and it's just your mouth you're feeding, you know, it'd be a different approach. If you're a single parent, it'd be a different approach. If you are in a married situation and you have, you know, children, and, you know, it's a different approach because you're looking at basically different scenarios across sort of different people. So one approach may not work, but what I believe has sort of always worked for me, and I always talk from like a personal experience, is like, I don't think there's any one time where I worked that I didn't have a business of my own. That's one. And secondly, there's no one time where I worked that people did not assume that I owned the business. So actually working as an employee with an entrepreneurial mindset makes it easy for you to transition from being an employee to an entrepreneur, because you've already taken that business that you're working for as your own. You've gone, you know, in with great passion, you know, you've gone over and above the call of duty, which is what entrepreneurship will demand of you. So this is what I love about Covenant University. The graduates that come out of that school come out with that entrepreneurial mindset. So when you get them as interns, you get them as staff, they have taken ownership of that business as though it's theirs. So they deliver over and above the call of duty. And that level of service and commitment to excellence that, you know, one often finds sort of missing in the typical employee. But if employees go in with that spirit, to transition to entrepreneurship is much easier because you've basically already done it. You've tested your employment basically with that sort of mindset. So
thank you. Great start. I like the start because, you know, I think the key thing from this start is working as an employee with an entrepreneurial mindset. So that establishes a ground. The mindset of an employee and an entrepreneur is, you know, quite different. So how can one switch from an employee to an entrepreneur mindset, please?
I think it's taking the business as though it's yours, even if it's not yours. What would you do in this situation if this was your business? You had 5,000 naira to make this happen. This is not 5,000 naira that belongs to your boss. This is 5,000 naira. You know, having that mindset, this is 5,000 naira that is mine and I want to get this done. How would I do it in a way that will best serve me or best serve my business or bring the best results? So that it's really as simple as that. What would you do if this was your business? And so if you take every decision, if this was your business, would you, you know, sort of stroll in at 9 a.m.? If this was your business, would you negotiate the best deal for the company in terms of, you know, maybe your raw material or whatever supplies that are coming to you? Even if it's your home and you're trying to make purchases for your house, don't you go look for the best deals? So it's really as simple as that, you know. Just switch your mind and assume that this business is mine and I am going to do my utmost best to deliver the best value you know, as though it is my business. And if one can do that, you're well on your way.
So basically just having a mindset of, you know, taking ownership, like action, and then having a mindset of this is not someone else's, this is mine. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that point.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So
may I also add to that?
Please do.
what I wanted to add to that is, you know, a lot of people often think the biggest thing, right, the most they can get out of an employment is the salary. And I often say to people that that is the least you can get out of an employment. The most you get is the experience, that hands-on experience. And you actually determine how deep or wide, you know, or valuable that experience is by the effort you apply, you know, by the effort you apply to the work.
Yes.
So forget about your salary. Whether it's great or small, you have an opportunity to go to learn a world of experience that, you know, that will be sort of unique to that particular space you're in. So if you go into a work with that mindset, that's exactly what ITs are about. You have that on your CV to say, listen, I delivered this volume of sales, I delivered this quality of production with zero faults, or I delivered this sort of volume of engagement with customers, and as a customer relations person, I delivered this as an HR person. This is what I delivered. You can say that proudly. No one will take that away from you. So,
Fantastic. Now, we sometimes, you know, we hear that if you can't, and I think this sort of ties to the way you started, you know, just sharing your story. There's never been a time where you were in full employment without having your own job, you know. So sometimes we hear that if you can't start a proposed business part time while in full time employment, then you do not deserve to quit yet. Is this true, and is it fair to employers?
Again, there are sort of different levels of, there are just sort of different scenarios. There is no time, again, remember that I'm saying to you that there is no time that I've ever worked where, you know, it was always assumed that I owned the business wherever I worked. This was always the assumption because of the level of commitment to excellence and hard work that I gave to the jobs. So have bearing that on one hand, and then also bearing in mind that just the way I'm uniquely made is that I'm a bit of a restless person. I always sort of need to create and express myself. And so I found I needed to have a business. I remember when I worked with True Love magazine, again, this was the assumption, like, you know, she must have shares or something or the other.
Yeah.
This was the assumption. But I also had a small factory where I had tailors, and it was kind of running itself. And then on weekends is when I would spend at the factory, and weekdays, I was at work. You know, I'm just thinking about it now. Like I've always been a bit of a crazy workaholic, but that's basically how I ran things. I had somebody who was in charge. I would set the pace for what would happen during the week. At the weekend, and you know, if anything came up in between, you know, they would call me. First of all, the factory was too far from where my office was. There's no way I could be present there. But yeah, so that's how I kind of ran things. And then I remember my sister, who's not even in Nigeria, but she worked for government as a professional. Let me just sort of put it that way. And then she, you know, but she had also a lot of time, right? And so I helped her to build the brand around her own private business. She had a lot of extra time, and she gradually started to build it. She set up the company. I helped her to build the brand. And then she started to build a clientele around her own company. And I said to her then, I said, you will know when it's time to transition and do your job full time. As soon as your side gig, so to speak, starts to give you 2, 3, 4 times what your full-time job gives you, and you know you've put systems in place, And you know that, you know, in order to scale, you need to now work on it full time. You know, there's no risk. There's, you know, and that's really what, why people are afraid to leave their employment because of the risk of, you know, health insurance, you know, that basic pay that comes through. But if you see that coming in 3, 4, 5, tenfold from your side business, and you know that if I don't leave this, you know that if I don't leave this, I can't scale this even more.
Yeah.
At that point, you know that you definitely have to leave.
Have to leave.
Yeah. But for some other people, you know, if you're coming into a second generation business where your parents have already built the business to a certain level, and maybe you worked for a bit, there's already comfort. There's already sort of like a comfort base. So to make that transition, you know, you wouldn't have palpitations. You know what I mean?
True,
you wouldn't be worried about, you know, where my next meal or next paycheck or whatever is coming from. Because there's a base. There's already a structure. You're just sort of coming in there to take that business to sort of like a new level. And so you know, that's why I say from one person to the next, it's a very different situation. So you really need to look at your situation and and make a decision sort of based on that. So but I would just say when you are in employment and you have the side gig, you really do need a proof of concept, you know, to be able to say, listen, I'm gonna leave this thing. I know this works. I know this is it. And and then there must be a way for you to sustain yourself somewhere in between. And then that advises the timing on when to leave and go to face that business full time.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Ebun. Thank you so much. Now, you've also mentioned how you have so much immersed yourself into another man's business, as if it were yours. But practically, how can one, you know, utilize the period of stewardship in building entrepreneurial skills?
That's a good question, because there are several different areas, right? In this entrepreneurial journey, the different departments that require, you know, skill.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, depending on the kind of company, you have production. You have to create something, right? Whether it's a service or a product, you know, you have to produce. Then you have to market it. Some people believe very passionately in products, but they have zero talent in marketing, and you absolutely have to develop that. You know, and I say to people, like my children, they attend trade shows from the time they were like 5 and 2, they've attended trade shows just so that they're kind of thrown into that deep end of the marketing pitching pool, and it's become a part of their DNA. Not a lot of people have that exposure or that opportunity, and it really steals a lot out of them. So marketing and pitching is one area. Production is one area. HR is another area. Yeah. You know, building your system and governance is another area. So if you know that you're going that route of entrepreneurship, being able to serve in all those areas will help, right? So that when you set up your own business, you have those skills to help you. Many people, you know, my job when I worked in True Love, people don't understand that every single day you're selling, you're marketing, you're pitching. A few weeks ago, Dangote went to pitch for $2 billion. No matter how big you are, no matter how small you are, we're all constantly selling and pitching.
Absolutely.
And some people tend to feel they can get away from that, you know, but you really can't. We're always negotiating. So if you feel like, oh, I'm a creator, but I want to have a business, or, oh, I can't sell anything, I'm not a seller, I'm not a... you really won't be able to thrive in this area of business unless you have a co-founder who is super fantastic in marketing.
Marketing, yeah.
So, So to take full advantage of your stewardship, serve in as many departments as you possibly can, especially in the areas where you don't have the natural strength. And, you know, that's what I would say.
Cool. So basically, if you allow me to summarize, so I think it's around identifying the skills, soft skills, the technical skills that you would need to thrive in this space you're trying to get into. And then, you know, strategically pick platforms, you know, where you can get your hands dirty and learn the skills before you make that big move into transitioning. Thank you so much for that, you know, that tip. So, but what tips can you share with employees who are now, they're convinced, you know, they've seen some of the signs that you earlier shared with us, but now they are convinced they need to move onto their own business. So, but what tips can you share to help them now have this a successful transition?
Establish a proof of concept. Be certain that there's a demand for what you're creating. Mm. And just like we've spoken about that already, start to test it out, you know, put it out there online. Instagram is there, Facebook is there, WhatsApp is there. You know, you can use all of those platforms to do that. Secondly, unless you're super cool with your boss, don't mm-hmm. throw it in their face, because otherwise they're going to think you're distracted and you're not giving your job its full attention.
Yeah.
So don't put it in your employer's face. You can create a number, you know, a different sort of identity, or even a WhatsApp identity and Facebook and Instagram identity for your business, so that you're not rubbing it in the face of your employer. Mm. It's never really a good idea. They're gonna think you're distracted and you're not giving the work your full attention. And finally, I'd say, you know, be honest. Be honest, because you never ever want to burn bridges, ever.
Mm.
So ensure that you give your employer enough time for the transition. Somebody is trained that is taking over from you to do the job, so that there's no downtime because of your departure.
Mm.
Yeah, those are the three things that I'd say to that.
Thank you. I just thought about the last point you made. So how about a situation where there's a delay beyond your control, you know, onboarding someone else who's going to take over from you? How long can, you know, an employer wait for a complete succession before, you know, moving into their own business? In such a case, you know, what can an employer do? An employee, I beg your pardon, I meant an employee, you know, wants to move. But, you know, one of the tips you've shared is you need to sort of support the process to get someone else who's, you know, going to replace you, or, you know, maybe they get someone and they say intern under you for a while. What if in a situation where that plan isn't going as smooth as thought, or probably... it's taking too much time to get someone on board, or the person on board is spending too much time learning. What would the employee do in that case?
I think that if you give enough notice, and it may not be, especially if you're playing a key role, you know, if we're mm-hmm. talking about this sort of person who is working like an employer, like an mm-hmm. entrepreneur, then you know you're probably going to be precious to the organization, which means you know it may take a while to find a good fit for your replacement, which means it'll be critical to give more than the traditional 30 days notice, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to be thoughtful. Again, you don't stop thinking like the entrepreneur because you're making a departure. You're going to be thinking, you're going to continue thinking like, we want this business to succeed. We want this to do well, et cetera. So giving that, you want to give it like 2-3 months. And that is more than enough time to find a replacement of somebody that will kind of at least spend 1 month with you to understudy you to take over. So my point is that commitment to the success of the business you're currently in should not, you know, all of a sudden fall off the table because you're making a departure. that commitment should remain, because what we're saying here is, the point here is, we must not burn this bridge. We must, you know, keep that relationship going, because you just, you know how this life is. You just never do. You just never burn bridges. It's just one of those rules.
You never do. Very, very fundamental rule. Absolutely. I agree. Thank you. So, at this point, what are the five top skills one needs to become a successful business owner? And how can they be developed? You know, just quick bullet points and how we can develop these skills.
Top five skills. You need to be resolute and resilient, especially in Nigeria. You know, there's a lot of things that will kind of throw themselves at you. And I always say that there's no greater force in this world than the, you know, the force of human spirit. You need to channel that force and understand that nothing is going to come at you that's going to be greater than you. And so it comes and you push back with that spirit that's inside you. So it's that, you know, you can't break me spirit is key, right? Second thing is, listen, anybody can learn to market or pitch. You need to go and learn that. Nobody can sell a business better than the owner of a business. Because all of the turnings in your mind, all of the layers upon layers upon which you built this idea and this concept is inside you. Even if you don't say, if you don't share the details of what those cells and layers are, it comes through in the passion with which you share. And nobody else can express that passion the same way. So it's critical that the owner of a concept, you know, is the one to market that concept or to pitch. And I keep saying pitching because this entire year I've been going through pitching and, you know, again, you mentioned the ECOWAS summit where we pitched and won, because you're constantly pitching because your business keeps growing and you're going to need all sorts of things. You will need funds, you need debt, you need grants, you need equity, you need distribution partners. And you have to pitch to them and say to them, why should they choose you out of other people who want a piece of them? And the best person to do that is the owner of that business. So marketing is key, right? And the third thing I would say is really understanding yourself and your personality and understanding how to understand other personalities as well. Understanding the science of human behavior. Because if you want to scale, you're going to need people. And, you know, as a business person, you may have spent a lot of time alone with yourself, you know, being the sweeper, being the accountant, being the gate man, being the laborer. And you need to kind of start to take off those hats so that you're working less in your business and more on your business. And then understanding your personality and the complementary personalities that will work with you to build the business to the next level, you know, of growth and scale. And if you don't understand the science of human behavior, you won't be able to negotiate and work better with other humans, you know, who are going to form your team to grow. That's four, Abby.
Yes, that's four.
Is that it? Okay. You know, and finally, and most importantly, you see, for me, right, the sign that you're alive is that you're growing, right? And nothing reminds me of my role as a human on this earth more than my ability to sort of impact people and to make the world better. So just staying connected to God, right? And to your purpose on this earth, because that drives you far above anything else. You know, staying connected to that. Why are you here? You know, what is your purpose here? How is your presence here making a difference in the universe or in the lives of people who form your team? How are their lives better? You know, and how is God going to feel about the fact that you're taking space in this universe? How are you using the space he's blessed you with? So that sort of higher purpose calls you to do better. You know, it calls you higher to do better. So those are the five things I'll share.
Great. Thank you so much. On point and great tips. So I'm looking at, two factors or two drivers for this big decision, deciding to move or transition from being an employee to an entrepreneur. So we're looking at two drivers. One, business knowledge. We're looking at passion. So the big question is, what should be the key driver for those who want to make this big step to take this big step? Is it business knowledge or passion or both, and why?
Both, for sure.
Okay, so tell us why.
I mean, and you could start with either, actually. Remember I spoke about second generation because those people of second generation are more likely coming from a knowledge base, right? And people who just developed an interest in, I don't know, somebody like myself processing coconuts, or somebody who decides, I wanna make chocolates or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe an interest, and then you played with it, and then the passion grew, and then you had to develop the skill. So if you start with the skill, you kind of need to build up the passion along the way, because that sustains you, right? Yeah. And then if you start with passion and you have no skill, we're not going to eat your coconut products based off of your passion.
Absolutely.
We need to see an excellent product that Absolutely. Looks good, tastes good. Yeah,
absolutely.
Then we have a sustainable, relationship between customer and product and that sort of thing. So, so I don't know. I think they're both intertwined.
Yeah.
You know, it's whether you're starting off from a knowledge base or a passion base. You have to pick up the other somewhere along the way for this to be sustainable.
Great, absolutely great, and great. So I think two questions, and we will be forced to call this a wrap because I'm enjoying this, but unfortunately we can go on and on. The first is, how can employees, so let's talk technology a bit, because we understand, especially with the pandemic, the business space, necessity has forced the business space to embrace technology than ever before. So how can employees who want to own their own business leverage technology to ease the transitioning from being an employee to an entrepreneur?
I think we kind of spoke to this earlier. And I also agree with you that the pandemic has really opened our eyes to see what is possible, to open our borders, to think outside of our sort of geographical spaces. That definitely happened with us. Our factories are in Lagos, and I'm chatting with you from Ibadan right now, because the pandemic kind of forced us to look into even getting human resources from Ibadan. And we've now opened an office in Ibadan. Some of our key staff are here. We have a distribution partner, a number of distribution partners across the Southwest who are based in Ibadan. And this is because we were, this journey with this ECOWAS award started during the pandemic. It started during the pandemic with us pitching online, So it just tells you, I don't have to sit in front of you to be able to work with you or engage with you. My accountant, you know, I have relatives who work in oil companies who haven't been in their offices for over 2 years. They've been working from home, and they're doing key accounting roles. And based on that and everything we've been through, we've engaged an accountant who is based in Ibadan, right? That's just for an example. And we even have two other staff here as well. So we actually have three staff, you know, in Ibadan, and we've, you know, set up an office here.
Yeah.
And because there's technology, whether I'm in Lagos or the Ibadan team or the Lagos team, we all have a meeting on Zoom every Monday morning. No matter where I am, we have that, you know, meeting, our management meeting, and then, you know, we go off and get work done. We have our online platform where all the work is communicated, and, you know, everything is just kind of flowing. And yeah, we spoke of this earlier, how you can use this technology to transition, where you can create an identity for your business on social media. There's AI, there's digital marketing. You can obviously also engage a digital marketer to work with you on, you know, pushing your products on those platforms that you've created for your business. And that goes on. No, I feel like there's never been this many entrepreneurs in the world, actually. I'm so sure that many people who have this, who work, have you know, some business of their own. Whether they're importing things from China and selling on their page.
Just putting something up on WhatsApp.
Yeah. Or they have a little farm in their backyard and they're, you know, snail farming or whatever, and making money from that, and, you know, and so on. So yeah, so that technology helps to create a separate identity for your business so that you can focus on the day job.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You know, just to end this, I like to flip the switch. And so, would it ever be necessary for an entrepreneur to quit, of course, their business and go back to being employed? Because we know we've been talking about, you know, switching from an employee to an entrepreneur. So would there ever be a case, a call for the need to switch, to do the flip from an entrepreneur, you know, quitting your business and, you know, going back to being employed?
Yes, I think so. This has happened many times to people, you know, that I know very well. And it's really reality. You know, I mentioned, depending on the profile of the person, if you're a single person, you have a really long runway as an entrepreneur, you know, before you have to, but if you're a family person with children who go to school, you have to pay fees, you have to feed them, you have to, if that business isn't sort of taking off and that runway is taking too long on personal savings or whatever, you will have no choice than to go back to pay the payment. So, I mean, I've seen this happen over and over again to many people that I know closely, and it's painful, but it just means that, you know, you're able to create that comfort for your family whilst you go back to proving your business case. And if entrepreneurship is truly right for you, you know, you have another chance, or another chance to build a longer runway to relaunch, you know, that product. So it definitely does happen.
Fantastic. So that gives us another chance to go again. So thank you. I think that's a good point to end this podcast. It's been insightful discussing with Ebun. We've been discussing transitioning from being an employee to owning your own business. So thank you once again for coming on
my podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Rhizome podcast. If you're just listening for the first time, the Horizon Podcast is a channel focused on human capital solutions and organizational development. We provide our audience with information on the go while equipping them with knowledge that helps them become more resourceful in the workplace and beyond. We hope you enjoyed listening to the Horizon Podcast. Thank you once again.